Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, last week we have been looking at the first two verses of Psalm 23, verse 1 and verse 2. And Psalm 23 is a psalm that reminds us of the goodness of our shepherd. He introduces us, David's introducing us to his good shepherd, right? And David is experiencing, he's telling his story of the experiences that he has gone through in the care of his good shepherd. So as we go through this psalm, we're going to look at it from the same perspective that David looked at it, as one who is cared for by our shepherd. And so the interesting thing about this is the more we learn about how an actual shepherd cares for actual sheep, it helps us to see more clearly how our shepherd cares for us. And Psalm 23 begins to open up. We're going to see more and more of what these verses, what is behind the verses, to help us see more clearly what it means for our shepherd to care for us. The first two verses reminded us of how, in caring for our needs, our shepherd provides us with food and water, making sure that we're safe from our predators for the purpose of giving us peace, giving us rest, giving us assurance as we confidently trust in his goodness, right? So let's read that again as we kind of think about it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Describing how good it is that God, of all of the people, God is my shepherd. I have no reason to complain. I'm fully satisfied in the care of my shepherd. Verse 2 continues on through that. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And we described how in order for a sheep to be able to lie down in green pastures, he needs to have all of his cares met. And he reminds us that he leads me beside the still waters. The care, the background work that the shepherd has to do in order to make sure that the sheep are cared for, even in providing food and water for his sheep. Today, we're going to look at the third verse. The third verse says this: he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Stop for a second and look at the beginning of that. He restoreth my soul. And that's an interesting phrase if you think about it, because here's David describing all of the love and care that his shepherd gives to him, right? He's like, I shall not want. My shepherd is so good. I'm fully satisfied in his care. And yet David, in this context, says, he restores my soul. In other words, his soul needs restoring. What is this talking about? What does this mean? Wouldn't you think that because he is in the care of the good shepherd, that there would be no need for his soul to be restored? And yet David, who clearly and confidently claims that of all the shepherds, his is the best, still says there are times when his soul needs restoration. Look with me in Psalm 42, verse 11. Because this is one of those moments in which we see David needing restoration of his soul. He says this: why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? He's struggling. David's soul is cast down. But in this, David finds hope in his shepherd for his soul to be restored. If you continue reading, it says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So what's David talking about here? What does he mean when he says his shepherd restores his soul? And this is where knowing a little bit more about sheep help us to see this phrase open up in a beautiful context of how the shepherd cares for us. There is an interesting characteristic about sheep where it can accidentally turn over on its back and get stuck. And when it gets in that position, it's helpless. It cannot get up by itself. In fact, I made a video. I rented a video from YouTube so that I could show you a little bit of what it means to see a cast, what they call it, a cast sheep. So let me go ahead and show this to you real quick. We're going to try this. We haven't done this before. Okay, here's a video of a cast sheep. He's clearly upside down. There's literally nothing this poor sheep can do to restore, to recover itself. No matter how hard it tries to move its feet, there is literally nothing it can do but just lay there. And all it can do is just hope for his shepherd to find him and help him to get up. And the problem is this. If a sheep stays in this position for too long, it will die. So knowing this, the good shepherd is always aware of this problem. He's always checking to make sure that he is not having any missing sheep in the flock. So if he's counting the sheep, he's checking to make sure all the sheep are there. If he discovers that one of his sheep is missing, instantly his mind is going to, uh-oh, one of my sheep is cast. One of my sheep has flipped over and it needs help. And so he starts hunting for his sheep as soon as possible to rescue it. And there's a reason he hurries, because the shepherd isn't the only one who is going to be looking for a cast sheep. Predators know that a cast sheep has lost its only means of defense. There is literally nothing the sheep can do to get away. He is stuck, and so he's basically dinner being served. And so a sheep is in huge, huge danger. So as the predators are on the lookout for the cast sheep, this makes the shepherd that much more urgent in his searching for cast sheep. This kind of helps us to see a little bit. Do you remember in Luke 15, Jesus talks about the story of the shepherd who leaves his 99 sheep to go look for the one missing sheep, the wandering sheep? This kind of puts that illustration in context. This is what Jesus said in Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He recognizes the fact that the 99 sheep who are together in a herd have a better chance of being defending themselves than the one lost sheep who may be cast with no way to defend itself, fully vulnerable, and also, if not found and restored, will lose his life regardless of whether a predator finds him or not. Verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. This makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? When we think about that aspect, his one missing sheep is in much more danger than the other sheep. And it also helps us to see his great joy when he finds his sheep. In his book, Psalm 23, Through the Eyes of a Shepherd, Philip Keller describes this moment when he himself had to often find cast sheep. So when he would look for it and he would find it, the first thing he would do is he would start running, knowing that every minute counted. Gas starts building up into the sheep's stomach to cut off circulation, and that in time, if it's not taken care of quickly, in time it will kill the sheep. So the first thing he does is he finds the sheep, and then he gently lays it over on its side to relieve its suffering. Then he starts rubbing his legs because there hasn't been circulation in the legs. So he rubs his leg to bring back the circulation in his legs to gently, over time, help the sheep to recover. Finally, as it gains back his strength, it's able to start standing on its own and gently being able to walk. So he recovers the sheep. And then he takes the sheep back, and as the sheep slowly gains its strength back, its walking starts to turn to running and bouncing around, jumping around. And he sees the fold, and the sheep runs off to the fold to be back with its fold. And this is, I think, a little bit of what David is talking about when he says, my shepherd restores my soul. It is in those times, like the sheep, like us, when you and I find ourselves in the spiritual sense like a cast sheep, right? A cast sheep. And you might think, oh man, I'm in big trouble. I literally have no idea how I'm going to get out of this mess. And it might be easy to think that, oh man, I've flipped myself over again. I'm in trouble again. I need my shepherd's help again. Oh, how often I find myself in this situation. And you might sense this frustration maybe. Maybe that shepherd's frustrated with me for constantly getting myself flipped over like that. But it's interesting that if you find Jesus in his life, as he helped and served those around him, he often earnestly went right to where people needed help, right to where they were in their helpless and hopeless state. He would go to them to gently restore them with kindness and love. In the same way, he does this for us too. Over and over and over again, patiently, gently, like a good shepherd. In our times of helplessness, like David, we can put our hope in our good shepherd. Oh, why is my soul disquieted within me? Why am I finding myself in this state? Oh, I can hope in God. I will cast my eyes on him and call out to help for him, knowing that he is on his way to restore me. The second aspect of care that we see in our good shepherd in this verse 3, let's keep reading it to find out. One, he restoreth my soul. Boy, is that good. Secondly, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One interesting aspect of people and how they are so similar to sheep is that, like sheep, people are creatures of habit. We all are creatures of habit. And sheep are creatures of habit too. They love having that same rhythm of life. That's when they're most comfortable. And they don't like change. And so because of that, here's how that works though. They like to eat in the same field. They like to walk on the same path. They like to drink from the same source of water. But the problem is if the shepherd lets the sheep do what they're comfortable with, it will be the worst thing for the sheep. Eventually, their pasture will become destroyed because they eat the pasture, eat the grass all the way down to the roots. We kind of talked about that a little bit last week, right? Their path becomes so worn that it becomes huge ditches, and the water source will become contaminated from constant overuse. So the land ultimately is destroyed if the shepherd lets the sheep just be comfortable. And because of that, the sheep will suffer greatly from that. So one of the signs of a good shepherd is that he cares for his sheep by constantly moving them and leading them to new pasture. This was often done in Jesus's day. One of the things they would do in Jesus's day is this. The shepherds would find a camp. They would make a camp someplace out in the middle of nowhere where there was plenty of grass. And then they would make a clover pattern. Camp was base. And then they would make a clover pattern, go out one day and let their sheep graze. And then at night they would come back to camp where they would be safe and they would have a place for them to settle down for the night. Then the next morning they would go back out again, make another loop like a clover and come back at night for camp. And they would do that till they fully circled around their camp until that area had plenty of a pasture for their sheep. And then they would move camp. They would move camp to another place and they would continue to repeat that pattern over and over again, constantly making sure that their sheep had fresh grass. The shepherd's reputation was based on how well he did this very thing, making sure that he cared for his sheep by constantly leading them on these new paths. This is why David says he does it for his name's sake. His reputation was on the line. How well he led them was a huge factor in the kind of shepherd that he was. The sheep, on the other hand, did not necessarily like the fact that his shepherd kept moving them around. To the sheep, it probably felt like, what's wrong with where I'm at? This is a great place. Look, there's still plenty of grass here. We haven't eaten it. We're comfortable here. We know it's good. We know it's safe. We're in a good place. Why do you have to move us again? Why do you have to make me go again? Little realizing the sheep have no idea that letting go of where they're at now is going to help them to get to a place that will be much better for the sheep. And so the sheep bleats out his discontentment to his shepherd. I do not like where I am going. That's a lot like us, if you think about it. We also tend to bleat out our discontentment to our shepherd. Even though our shepherd is the one that is leading us, because he is good to us, because he cares for us, he leads us out. But we don't like that disruption in our lives. We don't like that change, and we get a little stubborn and we don't want to follow him. Why do you have to change things, Lord? Why do you have to lead me away from where it was so good? And like sheep, it's easy for us to say, God, why do you have to move me from where it was good to where I have to move into an uncomfortable position? And yet our shepherd, because he loves us, gently and firmly leads his sheep. And he calls us to follow him. Here's the thing. The more we understand and the more we get to know the goodness of our shepherd, the more we learn to rely on his trustworthiness, the more we will learn to do our part by choosing to follow him. John, in John 10:27, John describes this conversation that Jesus was having, describing his sheep. He says, Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's your part. Following means that there will be times when you will need to be willing to let go of your will so that you can follow his will. Following means that there will be times where you need to be willing to trust him as he leads you away from what's comfortable and through times and through areas that seem like worse situations than what you left. And we're going to look at more of this next week. Following him means trusting him in that when the times that were previous seem to be a lot better than what you're going through now. It's that trust aspect. It's trusting him in his wisdom to lead you to fresh pasture. There's something else in verse 3 that's easy to miss, but I want to point it out to you a little bit. Verse 3 says this, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me where? In the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In the paths of righteousness. When I see that phrase, the paths of righteousness, I can't help but go back to Psalm 1, the introduction of the Psalms, where we're reminded of the two paths from which we choose to walk. The first path leads away from the presence and rule of God into godlessness. But the other path is the path of righteousness. The path where we choose to delight in the presence and in the rule of God for our lives. And it is literally our good shepherd who leads us, who walks with us on that path, leading us from pasture to pasture to pasture. This is what Jesus describes in John 10:27. He said his sheep follow him, right? But the next verse tells us where he is leading us. In verse 28, he says this, "And I give unto them, I lead them to eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This is the new pasture that your shepherd is leading you to. This is the pasture in which he's guiding you and walking with you on your journey to that pasture, one step at a time. So as your shepherd leads you, follow him. Follow him. One of the amazing things is that when we get to a new pasture, like sheep, man, when sheep, they go through this struggle, they go through this path, they're initially mumbling and complaining about how their shepherd is not so kind to them because he led them away from some place that was good, and they're going through this journey, this struggle. But then as they start to see this new pasture, as they see the new grass and the fresh grass waiting for them, the sheep jump and run for joy, discovering that, oh, such a good place that you've led us to. And they bleat out their satisfaction. They're so happy and excited. And this is like us when we discover the new pasture and we see once again that our shepherd cares for us, that he is good in how he leads us. That's good for us to see. So our role in this, our response in this is simply to follow him. Where he leads you, follow. Where he leads you, follow. Don't just let it be a song. Let it be part of your life. If you have not trusted in Jesus to save you yet, Jesus is going to give you that exact opportunity to come to his care. He comes to you like he has said to so many others, follow me. Follow me. It means you let go of your goodness, your attempt to be righteous, to make your own righteous path, and instead let go of your goodness and humbly trust in his goodness. It means to let go of your path to righteousness and choose to let his righteousness lead you to eternal life. So Jesus asks you the same question that was asked to so many others. Will you follow me? Your response to that is critical. It will determine your fate as well. Christian, as you study the word, as you live life, and as you come to points, two things. One, when you find yourself in a point where you are a cast sheep, where you flipped over and it seems like you're in big trouble and you can't find your way out of it, do what David did. Hope in God. You're flipped over. Look around for him. Call out for him. He's coming. He's after you. He's coming to find you. Don't fear and don't worry about whether he's frustrated with your constant falling over. Don't worry about that. He's coming for you. Remember that. Hope in your shepherd. And secondly, as he leads you, sometimes the path is going to be uncomfortable and full of fear, and you may wonder, where in the world is my shepherd leading me today? You may discover that it's going to be a difficult journey to new pasture. But follow him. He knows what he's doing. Leaving a point of comfort and going through difficulty does not mean that you stay in that difficulty. He will lead you through it. And we're going to look at that next week, and it's going to be amazing. But for today, follow your shepherd. Follow your shepherd. He's good. He leads you because he loves you and because he cares for you. And he comes for you to restore your soul. Praise God for such a good shepherd as our Savior, Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much for how you love and how you care for us as our shepherd. Father, thank you so much for the ways in which you care for us. Holy Spirit, please remind us in those times that we have of doubt in our shepherd's goodness, bring back the memories of the times in which he led us to good pasture over and over and over. And in our times of hopelessness, where we don't know what to do, where we don't know where to go, we're turned on our back and we don't know how to get out of the situation we're in, help us to set our eyes on our shepherd, to hope in him, confident in his care for us and his looking out for us and searching for us. Help us to have that confidence and assurance and that hope in our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray and thank. Amen.